When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Tor Cardona, Sherlock's newbie, Lou Huff, and best-selling author, cook, and TV presenter, Jasmine Hemsley.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome. How nice to have you.
Very nice to be here.
So normally on a podcast, we start off talking about TV. We're going to start off talking about films. Are you a movie watcher, Jasmine?
This topic's not my forte. I am a movie watcher, but I'm more somebody that needs to be kind of told we're going to watch a movie, sit down and watch it, because I'll find a million other things that need doing first.
I know, but when you do, it's a real treat, isn't it?
It's such a treat. Yeah.
Well, last night, Lou and I went to, we have a VIP offering at Sherlock's where you pay a monthly or an annual subscription, and you get access to amazing discounts and offers at restaurants and bars and beauty destinations. Anyway, last night, we did a free advanced screening of Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool, at the Olympic Cinema in Barnes.
Which was so cool. The location itself is absolutely amazing, and I think prime date spot.
Yeah, it's that day there,
yeah,
don't
and
you?
And especially like this time of year, it felt quite kind of cozy, and it, quite like New York vibes, quite Soho farmhouse vibes.
Yeah. It's really kind of exposed brick and big chandeliers. And
that sounds amazing.
Such a cool venue. Anyway, it was a really cool night.
Yeah.
And the film, it was Jamie Bell, and Annette Bening, and she is sort of 60, falls in love with a man half her age. And it's a true story. It's a true story about Gloria Graham, who was an American movie star, and it was really good.
It was really good, it was really sweet. You kind of know what's going to happen throughout the movie, but I actually think Jamie Bell is incredible.
He was awesome.
Really believable, and I'm a huge Billy Elliot fan. Yeah, I love it. and it also had Julie Walters, who's, again, one of my absolute favourites.
Yeah, she was funny, wasn't she?
Anyway. Yeah, it was really sweet, and yeah, the cinema was
good chemistry.
Amazing. Definitely, very believable.
Quite a bit weird. The only thing I would say is there's quite a lot of snogging between Annette Bening and Jamie Bell. I was kind of like, okay, I've got the idea that he's going out with someone double his age. Yeah. And it becomes a bit disconcerting. That would be my criticism.
Do you think?
Yeah, a little bit. I was like, I've got it now.
But I reckon that's probably done to make you feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To make you just
very aware of this age gap. Very aware. The best scene in it, I thought, I was saying to Myra, sitting next to Myra, was when they start dancing, the two of them.
Yeah.
He first meets her, and he goes into this room, and she's this really eccentric actress. And there's some, I can't remember what music on, there's like some really good 70s disco on. And they properly dance in the middle of the day, and it's such a feel-good.
Yeah, it's really
cool. Like, I want to
anything with dancing in. I think my all-time favourite film was like the Aussie movie Strictly Ballroom.
Oh, yeah.
With the Baz Luhrmann one. Like, anything with dancing.
No one in this office would have watched that, Jasmine.
I know.
Because they're so young. Well, as are you, I'm sure. But I tend to find I'm the only one who's seen
that. That's a good movie. And Dirty Dancing. But I think, as you said, that snogging is probably there to get in.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're going in there, being a Jamie Bell fan as well, and you're all for them, why can't, anyone can have a romance.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be taboo. But actually, in real life, if you did see a 60-year-old woman snogging a 30-year-old guy, you would kind of have a reaction.
Yeah, and you really see the difference. Anyway, it's a really good film. The other film I wanted to mention was Breathe, which is a film about a man called Robin Cavendish, who, when he was 28, got polio. Mm-hmm. And it's the story, he's played by Andrew Garfield. Was he Spider-Man? Superman?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yes, and Claire Foy from The Crown. And she plays his wife. And it's about his living with polio, and how in those days, when if you got polio, you were in hospital for life. And she fought. Well, she basically took him out of hospital, and they created this sort of wheelchair with a machine that breathed for him. And all the doctors were like, "You can't do this. You can't do this. That's crazy." And he led this kind of amazing life.
Oh my God, this sounds so good.
And it's a real. It's sort of. A romance. It's a real love story, in the face of kind of adversity.
Yeah.
But I cried and cried and cried. I sobbed.
Oh.
It really broke my heart. And you kind of know what's going to happen from the beginning, but it's one of those films where you know how sad it's going to be. But what's really clever is it's an English film, and it's got an amazing cast, and it's also got lots of humour.
Yeah.
And it has Hugh Bonneville, Tom Hollander playing these twins, which is just so clever. But it's a really, I don't know, I loved it. It's had quite mixed reviews, but it's in a really amazing story. And if you like a kind of, if you know, I think you'd cry.
Yeah,
it sounds amazing. I think you'd like it. And it's beautifully done.
It's an amazing story. I love a true story.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me slightly of The Theory of Everything, actually. That
yes,
kind of
it's
idea.
It's very similar to The Theory of Everything, but he, you know,
it's different.
Has anyone seen Murder on the Orient Express
yet? No, I really want to see it.
Me too.
I really want to see it.
Went to the premiere.
Oh! Did you?
But I didn't actually watch it. I saw all the stars on the red carpet.
And there's such a cast.
It was an amazing
Michelle
cast. I was walking, I had Penelope Cruz behind me, and I had Daisy Ridley. So she was in front in this green chiffon gown. It was all quite amazing. And then the whole kind of place erupted when
Johnny Depp,
Johnny
Michelle
Depp.
Pfeiffer, Penelope Cruz, Judy Dench.
I mean, it's incredible. Michelle Pfeiffer, because she is showing awesome. My age.
Me too.
Grease 2.
Oh, thank you, Jasmine.
Michelle Pfeiffer's like cool the ultimate bombshell.
Underrated that film.
Absolutely. So I didn't see her, but yeah, Johnny Depp, there's a ripple through the crowd when he came through. So the whole thing took quite a few hours, and it was supposed to start at 7. I think it started till 8. And I also...
So what time did you get there? You said it took a few hours.
Six.
Doing what?
That red carpet thing.
Just them all slowly arriving?
It was huge. It was the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh,
so it was 8,000 people arriving to watch the film. Then obviously all the crowds, it was freezing. Everyone was running around trying to find each other, and then you got on the red carpet. And it was the biggest one I've ever seen in my life. And
you still didn't watch the film? That sounds like the
I
time
know,
to go
watch it. So exhausted after in. Hours.
I hadn't eaten. That's a big no-no in my books. And so I thought, I'm hungry. And this is not starting, and I can't survive on popcorn. So I thought, I'm going to go and have some good old Mexican food.
So you skip the movie.
So me and my other half, I left him there, and he's a big... I mean, honestly, we are a match made in heaven, apart from the film thing.
Oh.
Yeah. He loves films.
Did he enjoy it?
He loved it.
I really want to see it. I actually don't know the story, and I feel like it's one of those films you see and you actually forget who did it.
Well, I love it. Well, I love anything period drama as well, you know, like, that's good. And also
It's 20s, right?
I think so.
And it's that, and
20s, 40s,
and that kind of murder I can just about take. I'm not very good at anything harrowing or.
It's going to keep you up at night.
Yeah. It does look quite scary.
It is kind of, but because it's got the famous actors in it and they're all dressed up, it's a bit like being at the theatre.
Yes. It's a bit glitzy, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Let's move on from movies to TV.
My second non-favourite subject.
You're not into TV?
I don't have one.
What? You haven't got a television? No. Anywhere in your house?
I've got a laptop.
Do you watch stuff on your laptop?
Like Netflix and stuff?
I don't know how to do Netflix.
So what happened when your show was on? Did you not watch it?
I went to my friend's house to watch the first one, and that was it.
So what do you do when you get home? Like,
how do you switch off?
Oh gosh.
Do you listen to the radio? Do you have like background noise, like radio or music or anything?
No. We have got the radio, and I put that on sometimes. I use a lot of Spotify, actually, and playlists. My other half's family always have a radio on in every single room, even sometimes when they're asleep. So when my boyfriend's brother lived with us, the radio was on constantly, like a background noise.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Yeah. I think 10 years ago, it would have been crazy not to have a TV because so much info came via TV. But now you've obviously got podcasts, you've got Sheer Lux online, you've got all these things. So you feel like you're part of the world, the bigger world, and you have something to kind of...
So many other ways to consume media.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And actually, sometimes I get home, I do turn the telly on, and honestly, I can't find anything I want to watch. Yeah.
So what about you two? Any TV on this list? Anything you've been watching?
Oh my gosh, Nigella, yes. That is my guilty pleasure, watching Nigella. I absolutely love her. Just something, it's the most ridiculous programme. Lou, I know you absolutely hate her.
I just think, but like, she...
Yeah, but it's the whole point. It's the whole point.
What do you think?
I think you're so right. Like, that is her market. She is her. I watch her and I find her so irritating.
Yeah, but she walks around her silk kimono. She's like, just woke up. We must make some emergency brownies.
Yeah.
It's just... I love it. It's really mindless. And she made this, like, fried sandwich last week. And it looked amazing. It was like... She had some really nice sourdough, and it was like brie and parma ham and figs. And she got out her frying pan. She put some olive oil in, and then like a huge... Like, I'm just going to add some butter as well. So she was frying the sandwich in oil and butter. I mean, it looked amazing, but she's just gluttony, and I love it.
Okay, anything else?
I basically only watch TV through Gogglebox. Like, that is basically how I get my, like...
So if you see something you'd like on Gogglebox, do you then go and watch
the full thing? Yeah, that's kind of my, like, what have I missed this week? What was good?
I find it a good way to catch up as well,
and I'm also
actually.
Like, how would I have even known about these programmes? Like, they do the weirdest things.
There are so many programmes now because of all the different channels. I think our big thing was we got onto Gogglebox.
Did you?
Yeah, that was the
big
thing.
And was that, did you feel like...
I've arrived.
I know that sounds so silly, but did people take you more seriously, but did things change after that?
I don't know if it, I think a lot of people actually message us to say you're on Gogglebox right now, they're talking about you right now. So that was really fun. I don't think it changed anything.
I think I remember watching that actually, and they just didn't know like what a courgette was. And
I think the funny thing that came out of it was we did fish fingers in ground almonds but also in desiccated coconut, and they were like, is that like a fish finger bounty? Which is pretty funny. And I was like, if they had to say anything about us, I'm glad they said that.
That yeah. was so good. I love Gogglebox.
Yeah. Come Dine With Me was probably the last time I had a TV.
And the narrator, I mean, he is Come Dine With Me,
yeah.
God. Nothing without him.
Yeah.
Let's talk about ways to be more emotionally intelligent. Because when it comes to climbing the career ladder, your IQ matters less than you think. And studies suggest that the biggest factor in your success is emotional intelligence, which far outweighs IQ and experience. I was really interested in this because we ran a careers event last week, and one of the speakers stood up and said, 90% of how successful you are comes down to your communication.
Absolutely.
And only 10% down to your sort of skill and expertise. Well, obviously, it differs on different industries. If you're a doctor, you know. As a concept, as an idea, I think it's actually a really interesting one. And there were some points in this piece that I thought were really valid, like practicing empathy. They say that for millennials now, one of the biggest reasons that they will be loyal to a company is by working for someone that has empathy. Mm-hmm. So that was one point, developing people skills, responding to something, not reacting.
Yeah, I thought I liked that point.
The listening one I think is really interesting as well, because I think you think listening sounds really easy, you just listen.
Yeah.
But I think you can interpret in so many different ways.
You can hear something, you can hear what you want to hear.
Yeah, and I think one of the points you could do to practice was basically have a conversation with someone and then they basically relay that story back to you and see how different that is. Because I think that happens, it's kind of like Chinese whispers, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone interprets something.
You can be in the same room and you both will look back on that experience with a different edge, depending on what you had for breakfast. Did you have an argument before you got there? Did you have a phone call that upset you? Did your jumper remind me of someone, and then I'm like, you know, it's there's so many.
And I think also you can focus on something that you hear and kind of pick up on a negative point or a positive point, and the person that was telling that story really didn't want you to focus on that tiny minor detail, and someone can pick up on that.
And you've read into it, you're sensitive to a certain thing.
I think that was a good point.
I think the communication thing's really interesting, especially today when, you know, when I was growing up, it was all about the grades. You know, there were so many jobs you couldn't even go for if you didn't have a degree. Like, you were completely, immediately written off.
Yeah.
And apprenticeships were like, you know...
Mechanics.
Yeah.
That was it, wasn't it?
Or you just didn't get past GCSE level or something. Yeah. You know, or
but they didn't really exist.
No, they didn't. Opportunities like that. They wanted you to have... It was about you on paper, which I'm so glad we've moved away from.
So am I. And I've got a son. I've got three children. My eldest is... She's going to be fine. And my son is... He struggles, and he's not going to find life as easy in terms of schoolwork, I don't think, as her. Mm-hmm. Well, we know he's not. And I sort of had these ideas when I had a boy that he'd go to this school and he'd be this. And and actually, I'm so happy that the world is just so different now. Yeah. And there are so many opportunities. Yeah. There's a dad at my children's school, and he had an amazing education and went a different route, shall I say. He's now an entrepreneur. He employs 100 people. He's got a massively successful business. So, and I just love the fact that there are just so many opportunities now. And as you were saying, it was so all about the grades when we were at school.
And it's about
like
what
it's such a positive
not
thing.
Not just grades, but what they decide is the syllabus to teach you. Mm. So it could be actually outdated.
Yeah. It's so outdated, Jasmine. I was thinking this the other day. I was the education minister, they would be learning about
life skills,
business and how to code, and they would be learning Chinese, and they would be learning
mortgages, all that kind of mortgages.
Yeah. Yeah. I left
business. Yeah. Like communication, how to pitch well, how to present yourself well, how to be confident. Yeah. You know, those
how
are
to
the things
confident.
That we should be teaching our children.
Definitely. How to be confident is really, because I think what happens in schools as well, and you know, for young people, you get a bit of a label, don't you? Because it'll be the first thing that someone says to you, and you, 1 to 6 years old is the most, you're a sponge, and you really develop your personality.
And schools label you so early on.
Yes, or 1 to 7, or one, you know, what they say, show me an 8-year-old, and I'll show you the man or something.
Oh, really?
Between those ages, it's when they develop nearly everything.
Yeah.
So if you get called naughty or a bit slow, or even if you get told you're amazing, and then they feel like no one's saying it to them anymore. You know, there are so many things.
I think you're really right. That's so I so feel that right now. I feel like my daughter's class, and my daughter's doing fine. She doesn't find it that difficult, but she's not like the. I feel like already her school
got
have picked out.
Yeah.
she's the one that's always going to be this on stage. Yeah. This is the really bright one. This is the, and it's so interesting you say that. Yeah. I was just thinking about that the other day. Yeah.
You know, in Germany they have things called forest schools. Have you heard of those?
Yeah, well, we have them.
Yeah, we have them here. They're starting to gain popularity. My godson goes to one, and they're out there. They're learning about things like, because we're all about, oh, don't touch that. It's fire. Don't go near that. And then you go to other places, like more third world places, where health and safety is not as much of an option. And, you know, I was on the River Ganges and it's flowing that fast with millions of people. There's no safety net, nothing. People are just more aware of themselves.
I know, and I think you're pretty, my husband's, he's always like, oh, don't do that, you'll fall off. Don't. And I was like, oh, they're children. Let them fall off. And it's only because he cares. I feel that sounds, he's
totally
very caring. But, you know, and I think the forest school thing is so interesting.
So what's a forest school?
So there's one in, there's some in London, but they're nursery schools that, this, the one I know of doesn't actually have any premises.
No.
Doesn't have a building.
Have a hut if it literally pours with rain.
But they go, you buy your child an all-in-one, you buy them snow gear, wet weather, thunderstorms, whatever it is.
Stick them in the forest.
And they go every day. And there is no classroom.
Yeah.
And
they learn to pee in the woods. Yeah. They've got ruddy little rosy cheeks. They're out in the elements.
Oh, my God.
Every day. They watch the seasons happen. They're playing with nature. They're getting dirty. Because the other thing is, you know, a lot of children are scared of being dirty now as well.
Yeah.
They're out there.
But how do they learn to, like, read and write?
That comes later. They say it doesn't need to happen until later.
Right.
I mean, they do learn that. They actually learn to read. My children couldn't read until they started school. I remember when she started school and there were other boys at her nursery who could read. I was like, shit, we can't read. And she's nailed it. So actually, it's too early. And you're right, in Germany, they don't start school until they're, is it seven?
Yes, this is up until seven.
So we start much. Wow. My mother-in-law's Austrian and she thinks it's crazy that our children start school so young.
Yeah. Mm. And then, you know, trying to contain a four-year-old in a desk, concentrating on a board, and they should be interacting with each other. And that's where the empathy starts, because it's that mentality of we're in this together and we need to help each other, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, empathy was a big one on here. And the other one, just to finish on the emotional intelligence piece, was people skills. Mm. And I remember someone saying to me when I was really young, it's really important, and I was interning, and they said, it's really important to get on with someone in the post room or the MD. And I always remembered that. I kind of backed myself that I could sit next to anyone, and I like to think I would find something to talk about. And we talked about this in the networking piece, and the speakers, it was a step up club, they said, there's always something you can find, there's always some common ground.
Yeah.
Well, if you're keen to be more emotionally intelligent, then check out this article, because I thought there were lots of good tips in that.
Definitely.
Let's talk about the most Instagram food trends around the world, because whether you're a burger or a bao bun, not naming any names.
I don't know what that was then.
Kind of girl. Instagram is the place for food, porn, fix.
And kittens.
And kittens.
Oh my God. I was gonna say. Last night I spent about, my boyfriend and I want to get a couple of cats, but we spent about an hour last night.
Do you?
Yeah, I know. It's a bit sad, I don't know.
No, I have a couple of cats and three dogs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm with cats.
So cats, food, and interiors, I would say.
Yeah, interiors. Yeah. Oh God, I could. Interiors more than food for me. Sometimes don't judge me by my job.
No.
I love I actually studied furniture and product design when I was growing up. Yeah, so.
Who are your go-to interior?
Do you know what? I am a proper, if you saw my flat, that's another thing I like to do. I love car boots and stuff. It's a real eclectic mix. Okay. Like I love a lot of the 60s stuff, like really solid, really well made. And my best friend lives around the corner, she's really into much more like Art Deco, Art Nouveau, so it's good because we could go to car boots together and not fight.
Yeah, you don't want the same thing.
Yeah, and then I love just objects with stories and stuff, so I collect a lot. I'm trying to kind of contain that because actually I do think that having a more chilled mind is having a more chilled home, you know, having, and
I imagine
vice versa.
You've got an amazing home, doesn't it?
It's nuts. When they come around and shoot it and they kind of, you know, artfully place a few things, I'm thinking, wow, my house looks great, but actually the reality is everything else goes back on top again.
That's the way.
So yeah, interiors is, for me, a way of just getting lost. Food I love, but it just makes you hungry, so it's something you can look at to wind down.
What are the pictures food-wise that you see? To me, it's anything Asian, like dim sum. Yes. I mean that, or like a something with noodles. Like
hot carby, hot food. Yeah. Yeah, freshly made hot food.
Yeah.
I think the thing that would also get me on a Saturday night is ever since Instagram makes you look at those videos on the feed, like BuzzFeed, the food ones.
Yeah.
And it's street markets in Asia with these skills of like turning this kind of gloopy mess into like a huge, you know, batch of that and that, and then they chop. I mean, when you think that in in Japan, they hand cut buckwheat noodles. It takes 30 years to become a master in that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's the art of slow. You know, that's the art of actually mastering something, I guess, like the whole flour arranging and everything. So they hand cut those things.
That's crazy.
Mm. What are the food trends that you two go for?
What things I love, I love looking at?
Yeah, what do you see? And then you just think, what just...
Oh, mine is always like puddings.
Oh, no, mine's, yeah. Yeah. Mine's like
or
pasta,
mac and cheese or a...
like hot carbs.
Mm. That does it.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, actually pictures or do you like the videos?
Both. I think I prefer pictures, actually.
Oh, really? You like the finished project?
Finished product, yeah. Yeah,
all perfect. Of that. Mm.
But you know, I would never take a picture of my food or like when I go to a restaurant. Like, you know, some people like they normally eat anything, let me take a picture.
I am that person.
No, are you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I try to, but they always look crap. I tried to do it on Sunday with a Scotch egg and everyone was like, no.
Yeah, I could never make it look nice.
This is not good.
It's, if you're going to do it, go out for lunch when there's daylight because the evening is just not the time to be doing it. And also, if you're flashing and holding something up, your neighbours are like, stop it.
Who is this?
Exactly.
And what about puddings? What kind of puddings do you go for?
I'm stodgy.
Are you?
Yeah, I like hot puddings, custard, kind of old-fashioned-y type things. Yeah. And I like pastries, but just really at a croissant level, not those kind of French dessert-y.
Oh, yeah, no, I hate this.
Anything too sweet. I've got a sweet tooth, but if it's too sweet, it's an instant turn-off. Okay. For me.
A good croissant, so simple. I love like a sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah.
Yes. Sticky toffee.
It would be heaven. It would be that above mousses.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like fussy things.
Yeah. It has to be really. Yeah. For me, it's a sticky toffee or a hot chocolate fondant.
Oh my god. Oh,
yeah. That is my like desert island dish. And I'm not a real pudding girl, and I actually love sorbet, which if I forgot, I often have sorbet just to...
Yeah. You know, oh, that's not me.
Cleanse my
palate. Sorbet's not me.
But if I see a hot chocolate fondant, I'm like all over it.
Have you ever been to the Chapel in Bruton?
No.
Amazing, amazing.
Oh, really?
Like, hotel and restaurant, and I had their chocolate fondant with like salted caramel.
Oh, I'm about to say, it's
pistachio
the
and salted caramel.
Oh, now that the people are into the salt with the chocolate, that's really good for me, because... Usually the fondants were always too sweet, you know, and they just go in there with the one level sweetness. Yeah. And now they're putting the salty caramel and the burnt flavours in there. That's
it's the best balance.
It is just
so good.
And pistachio ice cream goes really well with the fondant. So on the subject of sweet teeth, we're going to talk about the dentist, because for as long as we can remember, we've had it drummed into us that you have to go to the dentist every 6 months. But as this piece, Tor, you wrote this piece.
I did write this piece.
I love this piece.
I thought.
Potentially, it's not the case. I was intrigued to find out.
And actually writing this, speaking to everyone in the office and friends, and everyone said, oh my God, I actually haven't been to the dentist for so long. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, people just don't go anymore.
So expensive.
And I don't know if it's expensive. And I don't know if maybe now, you know, everyone's using amazing toothbrushes or there's better toothpaste or we just have better oral hygiene. But, you know, I have no problem with my teeth, or I don't think so, touch wood. But yeah, I mean, Lee, when's the last time you went to the dentist?
I actually went very recently because I hadn't been in ages. And she was like, when was the last time you came? And I think I was like, I was quite embarrassed, but I was like, I think it's like 3 years or something like that. And she did, I had the x-rays and she kind of went through everything. She was like, oh, this is an area you need to look at, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, so what was your issues?
No issues, but she was like, there's an area of concern, so like, come back in 6 months and we'll see if anything's developed.
Well, there you go, come back in 6 months, spend more money.
But then I did go to the hygienist and she really got involved.
I really?
Yeah,
it's sore.
It was really sore.
I'm such a wimp in the hygienist.
Yeah. But I felt much better coming away from it.
Yeah. But I think as well as a generation, we are better about our teeth. So I think, you know, my parents' generation, they didn't have great teeth. They didn't floss much. Mm. They didn't use electric toothbrushes. Yeah. And
I think there was a lot of fluoride was put into our water at one point as well. And my other half was saying he had to take fluoride tablets when he was young. Because that was a thing to keep your teeth strong.
Really?
And now they've stopped it. So the teeth thing is actually really interesting because
you've got good teeth.
I wanted to ask you about your tongue scraper.
Yeah. So this kind of leads into a lot of this. One of the first books that really made me look at nutrition was a book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And it was a guy, have you ever heard of Weston A. Price?
No.
It was like a foundation. It's they do conferences once a year in the UK. So he was a dentist in the 40s. And he and his wife couldn't understand why people were coming with worse and worse teeth, even though dentistry and oral hygiene had been introduced. And he realized it was because of diet. So he went travelling all around the world to kind of lots of tribe, you know, lots of third world places or people that weren't, you know, even using toothbrushes and things. And he did loads of pictures of them with their holding their mouths open, and there was no crossing over of teeth and no holes. No, they didn't need fillings. They didn't need fillings.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So how can this possibly be? These people don't even brush their teeth. And it's because they were eating their diet, their kind of the most natural diet.
Yeah.
There was no white flour, no white sugar, none of that kind of stuff. And so, yeah. So quickly, if your diet's not good, it weakens the teeth. Mm-hmm. And therefore, yes, if you've got food stuck or, you know, it can, or your teeth start crossing over and they start aggravating each other, then it's a big problem.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. And then in Ayurveda, which is what this book's kind of about, they have a whole thing about teeth, so they oil pull. So that came fashionable, didn't it, a while back? So in the in the West, we're so on about cleaning our teeth, but we don't think about our tongue or our mouth. And so they oil pull and they tongue scrape. And I've been tongue scraping for like 8 years, and I should have brought one.
Oh my god!
And it's just a piece of metal, and it sounds awful. So I've renamed
the tongue tingler. I feel like I can picture it.
Yeah, it's you just. Well, so I was talking about this the other day.
One of those things that cuts cheese.
On a festival. Yeah. A little bit, but you kind of, it tickles your tongue, so I've called it the tongue tingler. And I was talking about this, and I said to a massive audience of like 400 people, who does it? And five people put their hands up. And later, one of the ladies came to see me, and she's been doing all of her life, but she works for this dentist association. And it just doesn't take off. So the dentists all sell these things, but no one's done a campaign on it.
Oh, but what do they achieve?
It basically cleans your tongue. So you know how you brush your teeth after you've had dinner and before you go to bed? And then you wake up and your mouth's a bit furry, thinking, why is it furry? I've brushed my teeth.
Like nothing else has got to
be. Exactly, because all your body is literally, it's another area that your body kicks out stuff, you know? So you kind of know, in Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, they can look at your tongue and they can see just by the shape of it, the color of it, anything on top, any film on top, they can tell what's happening in your body.
Really fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
So every morning, whenever I brush my teeth, I always brush my tongue with my toothbrush.
Don't do that.
Is that really bad?
Yeah, so basically your teeth are hard, so you want something
soft
to clean them.
I bet so many people do that.
So many people do it, because they can feel it furry. It's all right, but it doesn't really clean it. It kind of moves it around.
Right.
Oh, so you've got a hard teeth, you want a soft brush. You've got a soft tongue, you need this hard kind of scraper.
Where can we buy a tongue scraper, Jasmine?
Online. They're cheap as chips.
Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon.
Amazon, here I come. One of the things I did think was really interesting about this piece was that actually the hygienist, it seems, is more important than the dentist. And flossing is just so important. Interestingly, I don't use an electric toothbrush. You use an electric toothbrush?
Do you not, George?
I do and I don't. It depends if I've bothered to get a replaceable head or not. Yeah. So the whole month can go by.
I just find time-wise, I don't really have time. I floss every day really regularly.
I never floss.
And I went to the hygienist a few years ago, having never really been. And they attacked me, and I'm still scarred by it.
Yeah.
But since then, I've been going back regularly. And every time I go, I'm like, I'm still not using an electric toothbrush. Please don't make me. I just don't really have time. But I do brush and floss every day. Mm. And they said, actually, your teeth health is really good. Yeah. And the flossing. And that ties in with what you wrote in this article. Mm. Actually, flossing is really important. Yeah. The other thing I took away from this is that really the dentist is more once a year, unless you've got problems with your teeth, it's kind of sufficient. That was quite nice to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
When someone's got good smile, good teeth.
Absolutely.
It's like those Hollywood. I love those Hollywood before and after teeth pictures.
Yeah.
If you search Tom Cruise, check out his teeth.
His teeth
were horrendous.
Awful.
But it really counts. Yeah. It's amazing how we don't prioritise it. We just spend money on our credit cards on clothes, but sod our teeth. Mm. Actually.
I think more now, especially because of things like, this online information, we're just a lot more savvy about what it means, Before we weren't aware that you could do little tips and tricks at home and something. Yeah. If you've got bleeding gums, that means there's something, your body's telling you something.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all in all just more aware.
Yeah, agreed.
Definitely.
Let's talk about skincare rules. This is another great piece, Tor, that I think came from you.
Yes.
Debbie Thomas, who is a skincare expert and founder of the Debbie Thomas Clinic. And it was her golden rules for a glowing complexion. I thought there were some really interesting things on here. Silk pillowcases. which I feel you just have to take seriously now, because the amount of people who wax lyrical about a silk pillowcase.
I'd like to try this.
Yeah. I actually went to see last week. She's a big doctor, cosmetic doctor in LA called Nurse Jamie. You might have heard of her.
Oh, yes. Did you go see her?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, just to have a chat. And whenever I meet these people, I always say, look at my face, be honest, tell me, you know, what am I doing wrong? How am I going to age? And the first thing she said was like, I know what side of your face you sleep on.
Yeah. Seriously?
And I was like, oh God.
That's amazing.
So it says here that over time, squishing your face into a coffin pillowcase will have lasting effects leading to drooping and a more lackluster skin tone. It's just amazing how many credible people rate a silk pillowcase.
Yeah, so I remember literally reading about the silk pillowcases years and years ago, but I actually
made myself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I even knew where to get a silk pillowcase at the time. Do you know, I have a Super King duvet, which I got a week and a half ago, and it's changed my life.
Yeah.
Absolutely changed my life. And I basically have been stalking TK Maxx for 3 weeks because bedding is really expensive.
Yeah. TK Maxx bedding is so good. I've got a lot of my stuff there.
Is it sheets you're talking?
I just need a duvet and pillowcases because I've still
Secret
got a
Secret linen store, hello.
Don't know about this.
They've supplied the white company, the best companies, for years and years and years.
I wonder if I came across that
They've undercut cheaper prices than the white company. Incredible quality. I've got 400 thread count. It's like sleeping on silk.
Wow.
It's amazing. And it's cheaper than anywhere else. I really rate them. You can get some. The linen before you buy it.
Oh, that's nice.
So mine is 400 and cost me $34.99.
From TK Maxx.
But I mean, I spent a lot of online hours sorting this. And I actually went to the Brixton store and the Kingston store and everything. But one of my friends in New York, she's an interior, I mean, she's got the most incredible house. And I was like, where's your bedding from? She said it was from, I don't remember what it was now. One of those places you'd never find if you Googled for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it was like 350 quid for the duvet cover. And I thought,
forget it. So we talked about silk pillowcases. Other rules from this dermatologist were, forget face wipes, they're really bad for you. Be wary of intense exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Which, God, I was not happy to hear. Get tested for food intolerances, that's key for a healthy
What complexion. Do they say about the exercise? Is it the jumping up and down
exactly,
gravity?
Exactly, yeah. And also being exposed to elements and stuff.
And
if you ever watch anyone running or doing trampoline or anything in slow-mo, you really can see what the body is doing.
I know.
When I run, I can feel like my face.
But it makes you feel so good.
If you change the way you run, that will stop as well.
Yeah,
so I learned barefoot running, and any weird niggles I had completely went, because we run like this in trainers that are built up, which means then that all of our joints are at the wrong angle, so we jolt all the way through. But if you run like they do, we're in barefoot country, so if you watch a lot of the kind of Kenyans and Ethiopians, they can't, it's more of a jumpy thing, and the body... I can run so much longer doing this new technique.
But where are you going barefoot? On the treadmill and the gym, maybe?
No, you use barefoot trainer.
They look like your feet are like the socks.
Oh, I see.
Those ones, not those ones?
This very thin soles.
They're good, but you've got to have that shaped feet.
Oh, I'd be like claustrophobic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just use something, my friends have come called Vivo Barefoot, and it's just that's super thin, so you can feel. So they say, actually, proprioception, you want to feel, so it's actually really nice if you run where there's... you know, when the crossings, and they've got them for the blind people.
Yeah.
It's like a foot massage. It's gorgeous. And then I've got a friend who, Tony, he does something called rewilding. And he says, everything, most of your problems start with your feet. So if your big toe is in the wrong thing, so a lot of us roll like this, and that goes straight up into the knees, straight up into the hips, straight up, you know, all the way through the body. And if your hips are wrong, your jaw's wrong, everything's
wrong. So what's in it? What does he
do? Rewilding.
Rewilding.
Have a look at that.
I want to try running in a...
You should get Tony to come in here because it will change. It's incredible.
Love that. The other golden rule was to get tested for food intolerances. Mm-hmm. I'd love that. I've never been tested. I'd love to know if there's anything
the tests are much better now. Much better. Before it was a real hit and miss with food testing, but now...
I had one a few years ago because my skin was not... This must have been eight, nine years ago, but I had like a candida problem in my tummy, and my skin was just, I mean, it went nuts. I knew something was wrong, so I wanted to get
this. And what did they find?
That I had a yeast overgrowth in my tummy, so I had to cut out like everything.
And did it work?
Yeah.
And do you ever have that again now?
No.
The other points you mentioned were never popping your sports, we obviously know about that, using retinol, and investing in the right brands. I was interested to see that she pulled out Neostrata, which is a brand that I feel like a lot of people rave about.
It's a really good brand.
Hannah Jaffa-Taylor, that was one that I was like, ooh, we need to look into that.
Yes, we do. Neostrata, Mediderma is obviously great, Medicate, BioEffect. So there were some really great new tips in there, which I think was really nice. What are your rules when it comes to skincare? You've got pretty amazing skin.
Thank you.
Looks crystal clear. Yeah. Jasmine, what's the secret?
I would say, I'm just saying, be careful of cleansing brushes. Definitely inside out, how you feel, how you sleep. I think the cheapest things are those, because I know there's a lot of creams out there and there's a lot of names, I'm not going to name them, but they were like, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds. but actually they didn't particularly do anything, or the stuff they put in was, you know, because sometimes you can make your skin, there was, my friend bought this sachet, she was going, oh my God, Jazz, you've got to use this. And I used it, and in 2 days I saw the difference. But you're thinking, how is it getting there? Is it just pulling all your skin off?
Or was it like a mask? Or
it was a little, it was a sachet, it was a tester of this new product that she found that was supposed to be amazing. Jazz, honestly, try it. And I tried it 2 or 3 times, and I was thinking, how could it be that effective in 3 days? What is it doing to my skin? So I think there's some things that you can do in health that have a massive effect, but at what cost? So I'm always conscious of that kind of thing.
So what do you do? What do you put on your skin?
I use a lot of oils, which I'm glad is like became fashionable a few years ago, because, you know, when I was growing in Dirty Dancing days, you stripped everything, you know. Yeah, it was all about this cleansing, toning, the exfoliating,
the paint stripper,
thing.
The tonic, do you remember the Clinique tonic?
Oh, and you literally used to squeak at the end. And I've always, my skin's always been on the dry side, like I mean, we talk about in this book is there's types. And so my body wants moisture and it wants oil and stuff. So I use a lot of oil cleansers.
Any brands that you recommend?
I stick to more natural stuff. I'd say there's some that have, you know, started to harness the power of the plants in a more technological way. So things like 12 and Tata Harper and stuff like that.
I love Tata Harper.
Another one who's really good, and I forget her name. She makes the Blue Cocoon. That's a really nice.
Not May Lindstrom.
May Lindstrom, super expensive. Yeah, but if I feel like I need something. And then Alexandra Sovereign, who brought out a book on the same day that's me. Yeah. I really rate her stuff. I think, and also the techniques that she uses on the face. She does a lot of the massage stuff. She taught me once that you should never pull like this because the skin here on the neck is really
so delicate.
Yeah, she always go this way. And she's really into the face brushing, so I was really interested to see that. The other one is...
So do you face brush?
Every now and again, yeah. So she's got two little brushes and you just kind of run them over your skin, and I just find them much less tough than a flannel or any of those actual micro beads
You know, I think these, when I said cleansing brush, I meant though, like a Clarisonic.
Oh, and like an electric toothbrush on the face. Yeah.
Yeah, not like a gentle.
Again, you know, so easy to overdo. So, exactly. a lot of these toothbrushes and things are timed. Yeah. And everyone's like, but more is more, right? Yeah. You know, so they'll go for it. And they're just stripping. Yeah. And your body doesn't, it's trying to fight it. Mm. And especially if you live in, you know, in the winter when it's already harsh or you've been in the sun a lot, it's your skin's fighting quite a lot.
I find that my skin is completely different if I've, like, gone to the countryside for the weekend or by the sea. Or if I've, like, been in London.
Oh, the sea always feels great, doesn't it?
Oh, the sea and a bit of sun. Yeah. I definitely rate a bit of sun.
Yeah.
It's nice that you say that. Yeah. It's refreshing because actually we do need vitamin D.
We do.
Yeah. And it can really clear up, you know, if you have, I have, like, eczema and... God, I don't get out there and burn.
I used to have eczema, and the minute I was in the sun and the minute I went into the sea, all those minerals and nutrients in the sea.
Natural living.
Yeah.
Mm. And any other rules when it comes to beauty, your regime?
What would
it be? Strict sort of cleanse tone.
Are there any, like...
I won't go to bed in my makeup. That's been something for years. But.
Are there any good kind of like vegan or cruelty-free makeup brands you really rate?
The one I'm really rating at the moment is Inika.
Inika, yeah, I've heard of it.
So it's an Australian one, and they do a really good, don't look at my mascara, I did it in the car over here. They do a really good mascara. So there's a couple of other, I just had a chat with this woman about it, and for so long, natural beauty has been a pile of rubbish.
Yeah.
You know, it's either looks like it's out of the 90s, but not in a good way, with lots of glitter and these kind of, you know, this hempy look, terrible packaging, and basically doesn't work. And now it's really good. I feel like content beauty, you walk in there, and it's a treasure trove.
I feel like there's a real sort of,
revival.
Yeah. There is for natural beauty.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Suddenly there's a real change happening.
Yes.
And lots of people like you are saying, oh, it's finally good.
Mm. It's finally good. So you can, there's like this, they've got an incredible bronzer, and then you've got Absolution lipsticks that come out and all these, and you've got Cure Bazaar, so you can have all the fashion
colours.
Cure
Bazaar's really cool.
Yeah.
That's that cool nail brand. You recognise the packaging, it's all kind of like cruelty free and stuff.
And the fact that I've met someone in a cafe and they pull them out and we start doing our nails, it doesn't smell. I mean, it just goes to show. Even you're inhaling that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, yeah, potent.
What about your hair? That we wrote a piece on 12 tips for faking thicker hair.
Mm.
I love this. I looked at it and I thought, oh, it's another hair piece and how different is it going to be? But I felt like I really got something new from it. Obviously, be wary of heat. There are some great products out there. Kerastase, lots of good products. But I like the tips, like keep your hair short, try two-toning it, try a side parting.
Side parting I found really interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm
going to try that. I do a bit of side parting
I think
now.
Your hair goes quite flat when it's a centre parting, one's hair.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it depends, like, for me, it's... If I throw my head upside down, it becomes a bush. Yeah. So you can kind of those tips to kind of get the... And I think the texturizers that, you know, the salt sprays and that kind of thing have been really good, because you know, back in the day you wanted a beehive, you'd literally construct it, wouldn't you? And now it can kind of have its own lift. But all makeup artists in the middle of the day will make you throw your head upside down. and kind of do this, and you'll get height again.
Yeah. Any other hair tips, rules? What do you use? What
I
don't
think
you use?
Don't strip your scalp. I think that's like I'm watching people now talk about it as if it's a thing. Whereas I've heard about this years ago, you know, they were selling you shampoos that would strip it, and then you would need to buy all these other products to put the goodness back in. So I reckon go for then more natural shampoos, which again, it takes some time to shift because they don't foam up.
Yes.
And you're used to this kind of feeling.
I know, I like a good foam. Yeah. Yeah. Then I have to use more because it hasn't foamed, so I haven't cleaned my scalp.
Yeah. I think one of the things as well is if you don't use a lot of product on it, then only clean your scalp. Don't clean the hair as well.
Yeah, that's the one rule hairdressers always say, is never. You should never shampoo your ends. Yeah.
Oh really?
Just do when you scrub your scalp and when it rinses out, it will naturally go over your ends.
But then I also you should shampoo twice. Do like a little mini one at the beginning, which then
starts the lathering,
and then you do another one, which then gets rid of it. Because if it if you've got long hair, it's all kind of run down through your hair, and then you just wash that out.
But I would say I don't dry my hair, and my hair used to be wrecked from modelling because obviously it's been blow dried and pulled. In fact, here was just a broken mess. And so one of the first things I did when I stopped modelling was cut it short, and it was just so nice to have a shower and feel the thick ends. And I guess the haircut is obviously priceless.
The haircut, I think that's the one, isn't it? One of the tips was, that I think that's the thing to finish on, isn't it? Yeah, cut your hair short.
Yeah.
Obviously it's going to look thicker. There's nothing worse than really straggly long hair, especially as you get older. And also, invest in a good haircut. I find it baffling how little, I always say this, baffling how little some people spend on a haircut when we wear our hair. So Jasmine, let's talk about you. I mean, how did you? You mentioned modelling. You mentioned a degree in
furniture and product design.
Furniture and product design.
Although I didn't graduate.
You didn't.
Didn't graduate. No, and that's as we were talking earlier, the modelling had taken off. I was working as a scenic artist in Vauxhall, so I was doing backdrops and sets for stuff. And suddenly I had too much on my plate, and I had 6 months to go. And I went to see my head of year. And I said, I don't know what to do. I think I had a sty at the time. I was so stressed out and run down. They said, Jazz, I'm head of the department at Kingston. It's one of the best places for furniture and product design and art. I don't have a degree. And I was like, okay.
Interesting.
Interesting. But
Left.
So I left and I went into modelling, travelled the world. And then obviously as a model, you become very conscious of what you eat and what you do and how it makes you feel. And I wasn't a couture fashion model, so I didn't have to be a certain measurement. I think I was measured once in my life.
Or maybe it's nice to hear.
Maybe I'll say I was measured more actually if something was made to fit me, but not measured as
fair
in
enough. Yeah.
Has she changed? What is she? You know, it was apparent that certain days your skin wouldn't be good, your energy levels were terrible, you wouldn't have the right mood, and you know, unlike walking into an office where maybe you've got friends and a bit like, oh God, Tor, just today I'm just having a bit of a rough one, you know, and Tor would be like, oh, I'll leave you alone. You know, when you're a model and you're walking on a set, it's a new group every day.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't come in and go, guys, I'm having a really shit day, by the way. Yeah. Hi, nice to meet you. You know, so you had to,
always
bring
to be
it.
On form.
Yeah. Always on form. And also, the first person you'll blame if the shoot doesn't go well is a model, unfortunately. And you are the one, the centre of attention all day. So if you start yawning, but everyone starts yawning. So, I basically got into, started to read stuff. And, I mean, I was reading about sugar, 15 years ago. So the stuff we know now about sugar and fat, I knew then, but it wasn't, you know, the mainstream idea was low calorie, go to the gym and work it out, eat low fat food, and weirdly it was almost like it was salads. It was like women eat tuna salads and men eat tuna bagels. It was that kind of idea, you know. And I come from a Filipino background where it was all stewy and one potty, and you know, we ate meat on the bone and we ate the skin on the chicken, and we always had full fat milk and Vitalite, again these guys might not know it, came in and my dad was like, what the hell is this, get it out. And so that really made me kind of look at all the different kind of philosophies out there. And one of them I came across was Ayurveda, which was like, whoa, you know, I wasn't ready for that kind of language. And then through...
And just tell us, what for people that don't... How can you summarise Ayurveda? Because it's quite complicated with the doshas and the...
So very quickly, Ayur means life, and Veda means knowledge or science. So it's the knowledge or science of life. So it's basically comes from the same roots as yoga. So it's a way of tuning in with yourself in your environment as to your needs. So the idea with Ayurveda is that you're constantly on a little bit of a rebalance. So, you know, you have the full-on chocolate fondant molten thing, and you know exactly how to balance that the next day. So it's not a diet, it's just, you kind of recognize that if you've had something sweet and heavy and hot and chocolatey and thingy late at night, maybe the next night you don't want to have something so heavy so your sleep is better.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It makes total sense. I mean, it's as simple as if you're hot, take off your jumper, if you're cold, put it back on. So it becomes this intuitive knowledge. And also it's all about the herbs and the spices. So using nature's medicine cabinet. So you know that in India, there's spices in everything. And the food we know today, they've gone and it's very extreme of the spices, and that's why Indian food has that kind of in-your-face
explosion
flavor, loads and loads of chili. But actually, Ayurvedic food is really gentle. You know, you can you can call it a curry, but it's not a curry. Like, you know, it's a curry you can feed your kid.
Yeah.
And so it's about comfort, one pot, easy to digest. So right now we're talking about mental health, emotional health, as well as physical. We realize it's gone beyond the physical. You know, just because you've got a six pack doesn't make you healthy.
Yeah.
You know? But Ayurveda and Eastern medicine has been talking about that for thousands and thousands of years. They were like, you know, they're probably laughing at us obsessing about our physique, you know. And they recognize,
and they're probably all really the perfect right size and living to living a long life.
You almost can't say that now because the Western influence has gone around the world, you know. And it was really interesting. I was filming some videos out there, and I said to the guys, like, what's your favorite out of these two dishes? And the older crew were like, you know, they're very much about their mother's cooking. I have this, and when I make it at home, I do this. The younger crew were like, I don't eat that, I eat burgers.
Oh, shame.
Yeah.
That's so sad, yeah.
Really interesting to watch that. Even in the Philippines, when I went there when I was 9, everyone's making their own food. When I went there at 30, they wanted to basically give me American fast food. They were so proud that they had it,
That's their mark, like they've made it in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I brought over some Percy pigs and they were like, next. when I was given like sweeties when I was young, it was like, you can have 3 today.
Yeah.
And you spaced it out because you know when the next packet of sweets came.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ayurveda this is primarily a cookbook, but I talk about understanding the
doshas. There's quite a lot in there before the recipe starts.
Yes.
I mean, to break it down for you and the guidelines and what you need.
Can I ask a question? So the doshas, you're one of three or a mix of three?
You're always a mix of three.
Always a mix of three.
Yeah.
And how, I really want to know what I am. How do I find that out?
So you're a mix of three and you want to know which one is predominant in you. So which of your tendencies you're more of. So you can go, you can see an Ayurvedic doctor, which is called a Vaidya. And they'll give you the most accurate one. They'll literally look at your face, you know, the same way that woman said, I know which side you sleep on.
Yeah, oh God,
they can see everything,
wow.
Even by the way you talk. So I'd walk into this room, they instantly know that Vata is my predominant dosha because I speak really fast. I've moved my hands and I jump from subject to subject.
I speak really fast. Maybe I'm better as well.
So what's interesting is you are probably a predominant dosha, but then your environment also affects you. Mm-hmm. So London is very Vata. It's stimulating, it's 100 miles per hour, everyone wants everything yesterday.
Mm.
You know, you meet a million people in a day. So you might be Kapha, which is much more laid back and chilled out. But if you are in a job that's requiring you to be Vata, you might have to look after your Vata tendencies. So for me, going and doing Ashtanga or Bikram or competitive sport or running is not going to help me. It's overstimulating me.
You need to be doing something.
I need to be doing grounding, chilled out stuff. Whereas a Kapha person who's super laid back, they're the ones that can have coffee and chili. They need to get up and then get up and get going. And then the Pitta types are like, they're very type A leadership types. They're very like, they can get very hot under the collar and a bit, you know, they get peed off if people don't get what they're into, if they become very aggravated. So they also need to be careful of competitive sports, coffee,
God, that last one sounds a bit familiar.
Well, obviously
probably bits of everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. So you can you recognise when you're feeling Kapha, you recognise when you're feeling Vata, you recognise when you're feeling Pitta.
So but everyone has each of those elements.
Everyone has all of them, yeah.
And then you need via your diet and how you cook, you need to balance those.
This soup. So if I'm feeling very Vata, so I'm going to come home tonight, I'll have done 3 or 4 interviews, I'll be really spaced out, then add kind of extra egg yolks or something unctuous, and you know, sweetness and fats are really good at grounding you.
So you're balancing your body with the foods you eat.
Every day, yeah.
Okay. Which just makes total sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think with everything, when you hear about diet or beauty or lifestyle regime, when you talk about balance, it just seems to make so much more sense. Like not kind of focusing just on one thing. Look at everything.
Yeah. And what are some simple ways, if anyone's listening, I mean, obviously there is the book, which
I hope people are listening.
So, for people who are listening, spiced okra with cream. I love okra.
I'm so, really?
I'm such
There's five people in this room and 3 of us love okra.
I love okra. It's so underrated and I love it just roasted in the oven. It's so good.
Great.
Okra
is very good
snack.
For women. Very good for women as
really?
Well. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good just roasted in the oven, I think. And I have to say, there seem to be so many recipes in this book.
Yeah, I said I was
really
doing 18, I did 140.
I mean, you're definitely getting your money's worth, that's for sure. But if you're listening and you think, right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Balancing your body with the foods you eat, depending on your mood and your circumstances and your environment. What are the simple ways to have a more sort of Ayurvedic
lifestyle? I think introduce more herbs and spices into your everyday. So obviously herbs and spices can have a massive impact to the point where some doctors will tell you it's contraindicative of certain drugs, you know, so don't overdo this when you're having that. But if you put a little bit in your food every day, you're never going to kind of go wrong. And that way you're benefiting because, you know, herbs and spices are very adaptogenic, so they actually support your body to help you heal. And then I would say have a lighter evening meal whenever you can. I reckon that has a massive impact on your sleep, which then has a massive impact on your next day.
Okay.
And that's a really easy one. And then do things like tongue scraping. So it's a 4-second job.
Okay.
And that you will basically look at your tongue in the morning and think, that's looking really healthy. I'm getting my good sleep. I'm obviously eating right. Oh, I can see the effects of drinking a couple of glasses of alcohol last night.
And what are some of the simplest Ayurvedic recipes?
Golden milk. Have you heard of turmeric latte? Yeah. Or turmeric. Some people say turmeric.
Yes.
So that's based on the golden milk. So the golden milk is this thousand year old recipe of enjoying spices in a very sweet form, like a milk. It's like Ayurvedic hot chocolate, I guess.
Okay.
And so you will enjoy that as like if you're feeling run down. Your grandmother or your mother would make it with tons and tons of ginger and black pepper to help dry out your lungs. If you need grounding, you'd have some jaggery in there, which is like the Indian kind of sugar, and some cinnamon because it's really warming.
Ooh.
And things. Mm. And if you need warming up, you'd put even more ginger and maybe some chili in there and stuff.
Okay. So, any other recipes?
Just a little bit of cumin on your soft-boiled eggs. It's another way to kind of bring it in. And
so those herbs and spices.
All those herbs and spices.
What about little snacks, like quick snacks, so you're not making a full-on meal?
I'd stick to meals, actually, more than anything. But we've got things like ladoos. Ladoos are the original bliss balls. So you know all the energy balls.
Yeah, you've got coconut, lime and mint ladoos.
That's been eaten in India for thousands of years. Mm. So they're good things to make ahead.
Okay.
But I would say as well...
sesame, peanut, ginger and honey. Oh,
really
that
nice.
That sounds good. Yummy.
So I would beware of snacking as a thing. Okay. But yeah, when you need them, that's really nice. Okay. Or as a little dessert.
I thought there's some amazing soups in here. Yeah. And I just have to mention the tarka dal with grated courgette. Mm. I mean, how good is that?
It's so easy.
And there are some really, really...
You don't have to be a good cook. Honestly, I'm not actually a good cook. I'm a home cook who likes flavours and I want them to work for me. So.
Well, judging by everything you've told us today, Jasmine, I think we all need a bit of...
Apart from my film cred.
Apart from your film, I think we all need a bit of Ayurvedic living in our lives. Good luck with the book.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. And thank you so much for talking to us today. I felt like we could have talked for hours.
Oh, yeah. We did. I think we did.
So that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@sheerlux.com. And if you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review and subscribe on iTunes. See you next week.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.